John chapter 10, look at verse number 19. John 10:19, the Bible says, "There was division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless the preaching this morning. I'm going to call on Brother Doug Bema and ask you, if you would, please, to pray for us. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, if you'll notice there in verse number 19, it says, "There's a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings." I find it funny that there's constantly division, doubt, debate, all centered around Jesus Christ and His ministry. Why is it that Jesus Christ is such a controversial figure? All the way through the Gospels, He's nothing but a controversial figure. What is it about the Lord that there really is to be divided about? What is there about the Lord really for us to debate about and argue about between us? What is it about Jesus Christ that's even on the plate for discussion? Is it His sinlessness? Is that the problem? I mean, He always went about doing good. He always did those things that pleased the Father. So what is there to argue about when He's always pleasing the Father? He never does anything wrong. Why are we even in this debate about the Lord? What's there to debate about? Specifically speaking, if you're a Pharisee, if you're a very religious person, if you're a very good person, if you're a very well put together person, why is it that you're picking at Jesus Christ all the time and always divided about Him? But all the way through the Gospels, we see that the Pharisees are constantly just all worked up. The scribes, the Pharisees, everybody, the Sadducees, everybody's in there wanting to fight all the time about the Lord. Because He's perfect? Because He opens the eyes of the blind? Because He heals the sick? Because He gives the lame their ability to walk again? What is it about the Lord that's causing so much trouble? Is it the fact that everything that always came out of His mouth is perfect truth, never said one thing wrong, always dispensing unadulterated truth with the right motive and the right spirit at the right time, in the right way, to the right individual, never, ever, ever, even dispensing truth, He never dispensed truth in any form of wrong way, lacking wisdom. Hey, you know, you said the right thing, but at the wrong time. You could never say that about Jesus Christ, and yet they're still all tore up about Him. So if obviously, according to the Bible, Jesus Christ is not the issue, then what is the issue? You know what the issue is? Human nature. The issue is the people that are looking at Him. So here they are, and they're all tore up, and many of them are saying in verse 20, "He hath a devil and is mad." They said, "He is a demon-possessed, crazy man. He is sick in the head." That was one of the accusations against Jesus Christ. Why? Because He fed the hungry? Why? Because He cared about the one nobody else would even look at the pool of Bethesda? Why? Because the woman at the well that nobody else cared about, He cared about? Why? Because the woman taking an adultery that they wanted to stone, He didn't want her stoned. He wanted her to find the help that she needed. Why would you say He has a devil? Why would you say He's mad? He was rubbing them all the wrong way because they weren't of the truth and He was the truth. So they find fault, they nitpick, they pick at anything they can to try to break down the truth to get the conviction off their backs. And then notice what they say in verse 20, we're getting to the theme of the message this morning. Why hear ye Him? You know what they're doing? They have their opinion about the Lord and they don't like Him. So what they're doing is they're trying to make sure that everybody else who does like him, everybody else who does want to go hear from him, everybody else that keeps being somewhat drawn by no real explanation they could necessarily put into words, but something kept drawing them back to Jesus Christ, back to another preaching service, back to another place where they knew he was going to be and he was going to be speaking, and they kept coming, and all the people that were criticizing were saying, "Why are you hearing him?" The theme of the message this morning is, you better watch out who influences you. And what I'm going to recommend to you is that Jesus Christ be your chief influencer.
Amen.
Because there's some men here trying to influence other people not to get the help they need from Jesus Christ. Others said in verse 21, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? So there's the doubters kind of in between saying, you know what, you might say he has a devil, but these aren't the words of somebody that has a devil. These aren't the actions of somebody that has a devil. I don't know how you could say Jesus Christ has a devil. Look at what he's doing. And there's all these influences going on in the world, putting pressure on people to keep them from coming under the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ. My goal as your pastor, my goal in this pulpit, my goal in my preparation to preach, is to get people to submit to the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ and get rid of all the other stinking influences in your life. Can I even say this? My own mind tends to influence me. I have fallen heavily, and I mean heavily, that's the only word that I can use to describe it, under the influence of my mind and my emotions. And my mind and my emotions will begin to cloud me, to where I have to wind up saying, God, I'm really sorry, because I read my Bible and I saw how all the way through that Old Testament, when Israel would begin to complain, when Israel began to overlook all that you'd done for them, when Israel began to murmur and complain when things weren't going their way, when everything kind of dried up a little bit, you got real upset with them when they got so upset in the heat of their emotions and their own mindset, because right now things aren't going good, and in this moment we're thirsty, and in this moment we're hungry, and in this moment, you know, there's strife in the congregation, and so now we're mad at God and we think God forgot us. And God said, what's the matter with you, in that you've forgotten where I brought you from? You've forgotten what I've done for you. You're allowing your mind and your emotions to influence your spiritual walk with me. And it made God angry. It grieved God. It tempted God when his people would forget what he had done for them. Can I say that I think a lot of us, you know, this morning I can say the news media, and you'd all say, that's a horrible influencer.
Yes, sir.
I mean, horrible influencer. I don't even want to go down that road, because I could preach for 3 days on how biased all of them are, including your beloved Fox. They're all biased. They're all running an agenda. They're all messing with your mind with their headlines and with the title of the article, so you scroll through. Did you hear? And if you go and read the details of the situation, the title is misleading. As clickbait.
Yes, sir.
They're psychological geniuses to get you to click on it. And then when you read the details, you find out the whole situation is totally different than they're trying to influence you to believe. It's a horrible place to allow to influence you, but you know what? We all do it. Come on now, I'm not going to do this, but I'd love to have a show of hands of who's already cruised the latest headlines today. I'm not going to have a show of hands because I'd have to raise my hand. Your stinking rotten flesh can't resist it, man. You're reading the Bible, you got the Word of God open, that stupid smartphone, that dumb smartphone is sitting there, and you're like, Fox News, just real quick, see who killed who last night, who burned what down, you know? Influencers. You better watch out for who influences in your life, you in your life. And specifically, even the clean-cut, high-rolling Pharisees who are religious can influence you the wrong way. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 4, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. You know why people listen to lies? Because their actions are wicked. A wicked doer, somebody who's sinful in their actions, desires wickedness in what they do, will listen to lies, digest them, accept them, and believe them every day of the week, while the absolute, unadulterated truth of the Word of God will stand right in front of them and speak directly to their soul in their conscience with the backing and power of the Holy Spirit of God, and they'll go, that guy's nuts.
Amen.
I just don't know what guy would preach like that. Why is he so loud? Well, that might be your attitude, but I mean, some of our 70 and 80 year old folks this morning on their way in, one of my hearing aids broke. Make sure you're on it today, preacher.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of them used to sit in the back and they're like, I'm moving up front because my hearing aids don't work when you drop your voice. When you're yelling, I'm good, but when you drop your voice, so don't drop your voice so much. And some of the rest of you are like, why has he got to yell? Well, let me just say this. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. If I stand behind the pulpit and read, if I'm reading unadulterated truth, and your soul's hungry for truth, and you want the truth of the Word of God, you want Jesus Christ to influence your life, I can stand here with the glasses on the tip of my nose, and, you know, look like I've never seen a weight bench in my whole life, that clammy white doctor look. And be Dr. Reagan, the intellectual. Using the intellect God gave me to study the Word of God and try to give you something from the Bible, and you'll get the help you need and you'll want to come back because of what was said, because of the influence the Holy Spirit gave you was the right influence. Or I can be a little half dago with an IQ well below average. That's what you think, not me. Screaming and yelling and stomping and snorting and getting all passionate and sweating through my suits. And it really doesn't matter the antics. If you come in one Sunday and I'm not jumping over the pulpit, it's really okay. As long as there was truth there and I got the influence I need in my heart and in my life, I got some help from God this morning. I'll never forget a few years ago as I was leaving the church, as I was standing in the back and everybody was leaving the church, one guy said to me, he said, man, you sure have been tame lately. There had been a lot going on in my personal life. I was exhausted. My wife was sick. All kinds of stuff been going on. You sure work awful tame lately. I said, yeah? He said, yeah, I was falling asleep. I like it when you jump over the pulpit. I said, I literally would jump over the pulpit back then. Nowadays, if I did it, y'all would freak out, and I'd probably break my leg, but, you know. I said, what did I say? He said, I don't know what you say. I just like to watch the way you act. And I never forgot that. The Holy Ghost said, you see what you might be training people to come for your antics. That ain't the influence. That has nothing to do with it. Whether you like the style or don't like the style is beside the point. Jesus Christ was perfect. And they still didn't like him. Why? He was the polar opposite of John the Baptist. And they didn't like him either. They beheaded him. Why? Because their heart wasn't to be influenced by the truth of the Word of God. That wasn't their desire. I will say this. You can judge somebody by who their friends are. My dad always said, birds of a feather flock together. You'll hear mama say, well, he was such a good boy, but his friends led him down the wrong road. Can I just give you a newsflash? The reason his friends led him down the wrong road is because he gravitated to them. And the reason he gravitated to them is because he was one of them. He just presents a different face to mama and grandmama. You can walk in some of the most dangerous and deadly men I have ever met in my life. Just seem like the sweetest, smoothest, baby-faced Nelson boy. Billy the Kid. Charismatic personality. Young looking. And killed more than 20 men by the time he was 20 years old. Birds of a feather flock together. Oh, no, no, he would never. She would never. I will absolutely judge you by who you hang out with. 100%. That's why I'm careful who I hang out with, who my friends are, who my influences are. I'll never forget years ago, I was at a church fellowship hall after the service, and a preacher came up. Boy, he looked like a used car salesman. I mean, he looked like he could desperately use a gym, but instead he goes and gets a fake tan. One of those guys, right? And he slides up next to me at the little table there in the fellowship hall. And he's a real tall guy. And he turns his seat sideways to mine. He puts one foot in front of me and one foot behind me. He puts his long, little skinny arm across the back of my chair. Now, you don't know me from Adam, Jack. That is not the way to treat me. Not Jack Noble, but, like, you know. That is not the way. I'm looking at my wife, and I'm like, this dude needs to back up, you know. And he makes an offer. Brother, we desperately need a youth pastor. We got a place for you to live, and we have a little salary for you. You probably have to work a part-time job, but your bills will all be paid, and you'll have all your utilities. And I'm thinking, like, something ain't right about this joker. Well, thank God for the Holy Spirit, because he's not in the ministry anymore, wound up out of the ministry in shame, and I'll leave it at that. I would never want to hurt him or drag it back up again, but he made some major mistakes and wound up out of the ministry. I'm sure glad I wasn't yoked up and influenced by that. I'll never forget, I was at a Bible conference somewhere, and a preacher walked up, and I said hey to him, and he just lit me up, boy. I mean, lit me up. I thought you'd move to my church. When I relocated to a church in Toledo, Ohio, he was mad at me because I didn't relocate to his church. I'd have given you opportunities to preach. And I'm like, you ain't the guy I want influencing me. You, what I'm trying to say to you is you are responsible for who influences you.
Yes, sir.
I remember leaving Crown College and going to sleep on the pew at Brother Lynch's church, and because I wanted him to influence me. If I'd have known back then what I know now, my whole behavior pattern would be entirely different. But I did sense in him that I needed the influence of what it was he had. When I had left his church and moved back up here, I called him and said, hey, what about Rick Sowell, Hope Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio? And he said, Rick Sowell's a good man. And he said, he knows how to build them, boy. If you want to learn something about starting a church and building a church, you get there, you sit down, you shut your mouth. That's how he talked to me. Because I'd never did. Even when he told me to, I still didn't. And he said, you listen and you watch. And anything that man lets you do, even if it means scrubbing toilets, you do it. I said, yes, sir. I joined that church, and I'll never forget Brother Sowell. By the way, we got some people joining before you leave today. Don't let me forget. World's worst pastor. I'm going to write a book someday on what not to do in the ministry. Doctor wannabe Mike Reagan. Or wannabe doctor Mike Reagan. That'd be great, wouldn't it? That one would sell. I could actually write that one. I just got an idea. Amen. I never had an idea of writing a book. Brian said he dreamed that I wrote a book one day, and I'm like, you are nuts. The Lord is telling you to write it. Get out of here. I'll never forget, as I was walking out the day I joined the church, Brother Sowell said, hey, listen, I got a call from Jim Lentz. I about started crying. Like, really? He said, he told me to watch out for you. Not watch out for you like you're dangerous, but to look out for you. He spoke highly of you, and he said to look out for you. And he said, if you need anything, you let me know, because I don't want anybody getting taken out on my watch. And I said, thank you very much. And you know what I knew? I knew that was a good man for me to allow to influence me. His life and ministry spoke for it. Somebody else God had used to influence me towards Jesus Christ and towards the Word of God spoke for him. And I knew I was in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Because your influences will shape your future. You young people need to listen to me. Some of you are getting ready to go back to school. Who you hang out with will influence you. The Bible does not say good communications help bad manners. It says evil communications corrupt good manners. That is how it works. Mom and dads, when somebody comes along, hey, I'm having a lot of trouble with my child, and I just really want your child to influence my child. Can my kids come over to hang out with you? Because I want my kids to turn out like your kids. You can say, absolutely not, sweetheart. Thank you for the offer. Appreciate the compliment. Hit the road. Why would you say that? Because my kids are little sinners, man. You go ahead and you try to bring the wrong influence in so that my little angels, your pride will look, whoa, your pride will spark when they start telling you how great your children are. That means you're a great parent. And I want you to do my job. So I'm going to send my kids in to corrupt your children according to the Bible. Because evil communications corrupt good manners. It does not work the other way. Why are you here this morning? If you got from work all week spiritually what you needed at work all week, then why are you here this morning? You're here by the grace of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit. You're here to get some help, some influence that will help your heart and mind turn back the direction it needs to turn. Because by the end of the week, you're so wore out. And the two of you are kind of at each other's throats. Come on now, I'm preaching now. And you need a little bit of a reset in your life. You need a little bit of a reminder of truth. We need to get our eyes back on Jesus Christ again. We need His influence in our daily life. I need something this morning. I'm doing the preaching, right? I need something this morning that'll stick in my mind and stick in my heart and stick in my guts that'll get me through Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and God help us Friday. Why? Because I need an influence in me that'll help me stay straight.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus Christ is that influence. I'm telling you, He's that influence because He's the true miracle worker. In verse 21, they said, can a devil open the eyes of the blind? That's kind of a good question. I got thinking about that. I mean, I know that, you know, they say he was born blind, there's no cure for it, which is what made that miracle so amazing. I believe even to this day they don't yet have a cure for somebody born blind, if I'm not mistaken. So for Jesus Christ to open the eyes of one born blind, that's a wild miracle. But I do know this, that the devil, the Bible says in the tribulation that he's coming back with signs and lying wonders. So I know the devil can work certain miracles, and when God was delivering Israel out of bondage, The magicians were copycatting many, not all, of the miracles that God was doing through Moses. So the devil can work miracles. That's what's a little bit nerve-wracking. That's why you gotta be real careful about, oh, you wouldn't believe what happened. I was driving down the road and I had this thought in my head and then a billboard sign. Well, the devil can inject thoughts into your head, by the way. If you don't think so, turn on your TV.
Amen.
He absolutely can. And then beyond that, you know, circumstances like billboard signs and things like that. I mean, you just got to be really, really, really careful in navigating through your spiritual life by, you wouldn't believe what happened. Okay. All right. But I want something a little bit more solid than circumstances, than miracles. But Jesus Christ is a true miracle worker. So I said that to warn you that we don't go overboard on the whole miracles and signs thing. But at the exact same time, Jesus Christ can and does and has and is going to work miracles. Do you know what the number one miracle Jesus Christ worked in my life? You are it. That's it. Little boy, 5 years old, sitting in a church pew with ADD, ADHD, ADHD, HD, ADD, ADHD, ADD, I don't know what it is, but I had it. Amen. If I went to the doctor, if I was five now, my parents took me to the doctor, it would be every dope on the planet to control this kid. No joke. Literally off the charts. I remember looking up at the ceiling in that massive multi-million-dollar building and crossing my eyes and trying to count how many lights I could see. While the preacher was preaching. But somehow or another, with a very short attention span and a tremendous amount of energy, to me then, a really old man, probably wasn't too old, maybe late 50s, early 60s, but to me he looked really, really old back then, was up drawing. And he was drawing souls cast into the lake of fire, and he was drawing so slow it was not the drawing that was keeping my attention. There was something about that man. There was something about the Spirit of God that was using that man. There was something about his voice. There was something about his carriage. I will never forget. I can still literally see it. I can see his suit jacket. I can see his cowboy boots that I stared at incessantly because I was Detroit, man. This guy's wearing cowboy boots. That is weird. And the pant leg that every once in a while get caught on that thing. And you know, well, that even drove me crazy back then. I mean, I don't know why, but that was like, dude, fix your pant leg, you know? And he'd be drawing, and he'd turn around, and I could see his hand when he was making the smoke and the black chalk on his fingers. And when he turned around, he was holding the chalk with the pointer and the thumb, and he put his hand under like that. And I remember him saying, you know, fry like a sausage. And he had this gravelly voice that was like almost military drill instructor style. And I remember as a little boy going, you know what? You're right, I am. I'm going to go to hell. I deserve it. I'm a sinner. That's going to be me. You know what the Holy Spirit was doing? He was opening blind eyes. Now, my life has been bad now, in the sense of I've made a ton of mistakes and messed up a lot. As a saved man at 5, God only knows where I'd be if I'd have waited later. I may have never gotten saved. Because I'm that much of a sinner. I'm that stubborn and bullheaded and hell-bent for my own will and my own desire and putting the pressure on what I want in life. It doesn't matter who I got to step on to get it. I'm going to get what I need to get because I want what I want. That's my nature without Jesus Christ. I don't know where I'd be today. Amen. If God hadn't opened my blinded eyes and showed me the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, can I please tell you, you are in a safe place to ask about it.
Yes,
you're hearing people say yes and amen because they either know or they actually have experienced it themselves. We're not going to like pound on the desk. Actually, if you're female, I will hand you off to my wife. We're good. But if you're a male and you're like, hey, I want to talk to the preacher, don't feel like when it comes to, hey, I want to talk about salvation, that the preacher is what you're going to get in the pastor. I'll answer your questions. We'll show you. We don't want you to leave here without knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the number one miracle you've got to experience in your life before you die.
Amen.
You've got to. Because if you don't, the Bible says you'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's not being mean. That's Bible. That's what He said. And He's good for His Word. So if He told you He'll save you, guess what He'll do? He'll save you. So if you leave here unsaved, it's because you refuse to allow His influence in your life. And I'm doing the best I can with the little bit of influence that God's given me to influence you to Him.
Amen.
We're not trying to influence you to us.
Right.
These people that are joining the church are going to tell you that's not been my influence. That's not been my goal. That's not been my agenda.
Right.
Ever. It's not about building this church. It's about you getting to know Jesus Christ. You've got to have that miracle. He's got to open your eyes to who you are and to who He is so He can save your soul. Look at verse 24. Then came the Jews round about Him and said, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. What in the world are you talking about, man? He said it as plain as the nose on your face. Multiple times. And they're still saying, well, just make it clear. It can't get any clearer. He can't be any more direct. He's rattled the entire society. He's turned the entire world upside down with this message of I and my Father are one. I am from God. I'm going back to God. I'm the Son of God. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. Hey, he couldn't get any clearer that He's the Christ and that He's coming for the sins of the world. And whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. To them give you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. He goes on and on and on and on in absolutely plain English this morning, trying to tell them who He is. And they're saying, why are you making us doubt? The doubt ain't because God's making you doubt. The doubt is because you are not allowing the right influence in your life. You've got other influencers in your head trying to keep you from getting closer to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the problem. And religion is the worst culprit because you got the Jews and the Pharisees putting the most pressure on them. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Look down at verse number 30. I and my Father are one. You know, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. How can He and the Father be one while He's here on the earth and the Father's in heaven? Isn't that crazy? Let me say something that seems contradictory and it's not. If it don't make sense, God ain't in it. Don't ever forget that. If it doesn't make sense, I like to say it in plain English, if it don't make sense, God ain't in it. Ain't and don't. Just sticks in my head better. But if it does not make sense, the Lord is not in it. Whatever suits you. You guys are mischievous this morning. I'm trying to be good and you're provoking me. But if I can explain it, God didn't do it. That doesn't make sense, preacher. Oh, yes, it does. When religion tries to bring you to do something that's completely against common sense, that is not God. He's not asking you to violate natural laws of reality in order to get spiritual. That don't make sense. Back up. Just back up. But if I can explain everything there is to explain about it, then God didn't do it. Oh, well, I don't know. How can I build my faith on that? Well, why don't you either come or listen to Wednesday night series, because we're going to start getting into science and the Bible. And we're going to start showing you scientific facts written down in Scripture before science ever knew it. And then made fun of the Bible because they believed something different, scientifically speaking, and have come to find out that they were wrong and the Bible was right.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say is that there's all kinds of internal evidence that the Word of God is true, that the Bible is true, that Jesus Christ is the Creator, that He's the Savior, that He's one with the Father. I and my Father are one. God made man in His own image. You got a body, a soul, and a spirit. What makes you different from a dog? What makes you different from a bird? What makes you different than a horse? They got flesh like you do. They got a spirit like you do. What makes you different? You got a soul. Why is it you can create and invent and think logically, not instinctively? Animals are instinctive. Some of you talk to your dogs and cats and you think they understand English. They don't. Then how come when I say, little Snooky, come here. He picked up on come here. He picked up on one word in that sentence that he's been instinctively trained to respond to. They don't understand your full sentences. That's why the dogs are so great. They're loyal. They never backstab you and they never spread your gossip. You can tell them everything and it stays between you and them, man. Man's best friend. They're the bomb. You're talking to yourself and you find out your dog's been laying in the office the whole time and you're like, well, we're good. Normally that's a pretty embarrassing scenario. Somebody was standing there listening, you didn't see them. You got a soul. You are made in His image. I and my Father are one. Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit, they're one. So you're telling me that God broke part of Himself off, that Jesus Christ came down and became man while He was still God? That's 100% what I'm telling you. I just can't believe that. It's logically a lot more realistic than a big bang and you were a monkey and you became a human and all that kind of thing. It logically makes more sense. Well, I just can't explain it all. That's great, because you're not God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And if you could explain it all, you would be God and the rest of us would be in big trouble. Don't ever forget that. It's a miracle. You have to accept a miracle. You have to be influenced by a miracle. Either the miracle of you were a monkey and now you're walking, or the miracle of you have a divine creator who knows you and cares about you and came to die for you and has secured your home in heaven and He'll guide you through this life. You're going to be influenced by one or the other.
Amen.
It's your choice which one influences you.
Amen.
You look at our nation influenced by we came from monkeys and they're acting like them.
Amen.
They're acting like a wolf pack. Actually, I've been studying a little bit on wolf packs this week. I love wolves and lions. They're my two favorite undomesticated animals. And if I ever move to Alaska, which sounds so good to me, move to Alaska and wait for the rapture.
Amen.
Perfect, man.
Amen.
I would try to get me a pet wolf or at least a half wolf, half shepherd. Domesticated dogs, that's my favorite domesticated animals, a dog. My favorite wild animals are wolves and lions. Someday I want to go to Africa and Alaska, two places I want to go. I want to see them wolves, man. I want to see them. I love them lions. You know, wolf packs and lion prides are more organized, more put together, and they're not as bloodthirsty and crazy as everybody makes them out to be. They only eat when they're starving. They're only dangerous when they're starving. Wolves are cowards. They're scared of you. The only time they get aggressive is if they're hungry. You watch man who's been taught that he came from monkeys begin to be influenced by that philosophy, and he will be worse than an animal. Better watch out your influence. And Jesus Christ is the greatest influencer because He's the true miracle worker, and He can work miracles in your life.
Yes,
Do you hear what I said? The Lord can work miracles in your life. There are some things that God's allowed in my life that I have to live with. Because those things keep my head down. They keep me in a humbler spot. I'm not going to say that I'm humble, but I'd say that they keep me in a humbler spot than I would be without them. Like Paul said, God, you're the miracle worker. Would you hear my eyes? 3 times he besought the Lord, thrice, that God would take it away from him. And God said, no, I'm leaving you with that. Why? It's a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. A messenger of Satan. This isn't right. This feels terrible. I don't know why this is such a heartbreak. This is so crazy. A messenger of Satan to buffet me lest I be exalted above measure. God said, I'm going to leave that painful, nasty, terrible thing in your life because I'm using you, Paul, and I'm doing something with you and I want to walk with you, and without it, you're going to get too proud. Jesus Christ is a miracle worker, but sometimes he says no when you ask him for a miracle. Because he loves you. And he knows what's good for you. I realize there's some things in my life that will only be fixed if God works a miracle. Family members. Come on. I'm preaching now. I ain't screaming and stomping, but I'm preaching now. And I realize he's a true miracle worker, so if he says no miracle, then I say thank you, sir. Because that must be a miracle for whatever reason, and it doesn't make sense, but I need it. So I give it to you. I'd allow him to influence me. I'd allow him to influence me because he does the works of the Father. You see verse number 38? But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. You know what Jesus Christ is saying? Judge me by my works. Can I tell you something? I want to ask you to do me a favor. I want to ask you to do me this favor. Don't judge me by my works. Sometimes I get them right and I'm trying to get them right. That's not me saying that I have all kinds of sinful works that are going on. That's me saying that I realize that even when I'm doing my best, I still fall short.
Amen.
That even when I'm trying to do something spiritual, I still mess up.
Amen.
You have no idea what it feels like. And I'm not saying this in a put-down way. It probably just came across that way. I'm working on some stuff. You have no idea how much it can haunt you when you're called to preach the Bible and you get up and you preach and you just get in your groove and you get hammering it and you're just fired up and you're going, and then you look back, or God forbid you ever go back and listen to one of your messages and you go, man, I think I came across totally wrong. Even in my good works, I despise so much of what I see that is Mike Reagan. Even when I'm doing right, sometimes I got to go say, Lord, I'm really sorry. My motive was way off. Jesus Christ's works were 100% perfect. And you can follow his works and you can watch his works and you can allow the works of Jesus Christ to influence your life.
Amen.
My goal, and I got to be careful saying this out loud. My goal is to be more like my Savior. If I can ever figure that one out, if I can ever get there, that's the beauty of dying. That's the beauty of the rapture. See, finally you'll have arrived, man. You'll get that glorified body one day, and you'll finally have arrived. Between now and then, I want his influence in my life. I don't even want my own influence. I don't even want my own mind. I don't even want my own emotions. I already talked about that. I don't want the influence. Listen, God's put some men in my life that I allow to influence me. But I realize one thing, and I've got to keep this in the forefront of my mind. I have to keep this in the forefront of my mind. That even those men that God Almighty, by the Holy Ghost, put in my life to influence me, those men are still sinful men. Why is that important? So you can pick them apart. Well, he's just a sinner too. First time he gives you advice you don't want to follow? Heck no. It's important because when you get your eyes too much on a man and you begin to hero worship a man and you exalt a man into the realm of inordinate affection, that means inappropriate affection. That means I have him elevated so high that my motive is his friendship. My motive is his recognition. My motive is his promotion. You are fixing to get yourself messed up. You're fixing to get yourself in trouble. You're fixing to lose the influence that God put in your life because you got your eyes off Jesus Christ, and instead of recognizing, thank God he put so-and-so in my life. He's been a big help and a blessing to me. You began to say, oh, brother so-and-so. Oh, brother so-and-so. And then when you see his humanity, and then when you see his humanity and you come down off your whatever it is, you're out the door. He's a sinner just like you. And he needs grace and forgiveness and mercy and compassion and long-suffering just like you need it.
Amen.
But Jesus Christ is perfect. I mean, I just want to point you to Jesus Christ. I want you to see he always did the works of the Father. He never did anything wrong. What are some of his works? Look at verse 28. And I gave unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. One of his works? One of his works was to die for your sins. One of his works was to take everything you are, everything you've done, every foolish thing you've ever done, every wicked sin you've ever committed, every ungodly thought that's ever entered your mind, that boy, if we put a screen up here this morning, and we're going to have one up here tonight, we put a screen up here this morning for a missionary presentation. Just got to clarify the screen going up. I don't want rumors starting. For a missionary presentation, put a screen. You think I could run a screen and preach? You think these guys could sit in back and keep up with where I'm at next? It would be such a catastrophe. It's not even funny. We put a screen up here this morning and showed everything you've ever done or every thought you've ever had in front of the whole church. You'd never walk in those doors again. And Jesus Christ took every single one of those things upon himself and said, I'll take the guilt, I'll take the blame, and I'll take the punishment. Died on the cross of Calvary, was buried, descended to put your sins where they belong, and rose again the third day for you.
Amen.
Now, why in the world wouldn't you let somebody like that continue to influence you? Jesus Christ is more than a fire escape. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll walk you through this life. He'll comfort your heart. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He will help you work out the salvation he gave you. In other words, if I want the right things to come out of me, I've got to be influenced by Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that knows how to commit the right works the right way with the right motives. He's the only one. So the focus has got to be on Jesus Christ. The influence in my life has got to be the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, my friend, the one who gave me his word. I've got to have his influence. His works are worth it. I mean, he saved my soul. If he can save my soul, can't he guide me through my life? Not only does he save my soul, but he keeps my soul saved. Look at verse number 28. He says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them me. My Father which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know what I've heard Christians say a lot? They quote this verse and say, you know, no one can pluck us out of the Lord's hand. Can I just tell you something? You're not in the Lord's hand. Who? He said, I and my Father are what? You know what he said about you? You are his body. 1 Corinthians 12, I believe it is. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. 1 Corinthians 12 goes through and talks about what part you are in the body. You're not in his hand. You are his hand. Don't forget to rightly divide your Bible. He's given them here a subtle message about the coming church. But the Jews are in his hand. The church is his hand. You got to get those distinctions. If Paul comes up with this doctrine that's totally at nope, he actually can go back to the scriptures and show you from the scriptures where God showed him the revelation of the mystery of the church. You're the mystery of godliness. God, Jesus Christ, is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, the mystery of the Jew and Gentile in one body. I'm talking about a miracle worker. It's a miracle that you are the body of Jesus Christ. That he put his spirit in you and sealed you unto the day of redemption. Now, how does that work? I mean, how can a perfect Savior inhabit a sinful body? Well, Colossians explains that. It's the circumcision made without hands. By putting off the body, the sins of the flesh. When you were born again, God literally cut away your soul from your body. So now if I touch something unclean in the Old Testament, if they touched something unclean, they were fully contaminated and they had to go make another sacrifice. Now if you touch something unclean, your flesh can get dirty, but your soul doesn't get dirty because your soul is His. You're His body, you're His bride, His spirit is in you by the new birth. You still have your old man that you're shackled to. The day's coming, you're going to be shed of that old man and you're going to get a new body. Perfect forever, but until between now and then, He keeps you saved. That's a great work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People take you over to those Gospels and show you, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Somebody showed me Wednesday night, they said, see, a relative of mine was showing me how no fornicator or adulterer has inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And he was saying, doesn't that mean we can lose our salvation? And he said, look at the word. Inheritance. You lose your inheritance as a child. You don't lose your soul. You got to get a hold of that. Why? Because that's a work of Jesus Christ. Now, if He loves me that much, to not only take my sin, take my hell, give me eternal life, but He loves me so much He makes it possible for me to stay saved. Because if I had to keep my salvation, folks, I'd split hell wide open. I just can't do it. Oh, you're just saying that. I'm not just saying that. If you haven't noticed, I'm not the overly like religious, collar backward, you know, sweet talking guy. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm just as real as you are. I'm just as normal as you are. I'm just as human as you are. I can't wait to get out of here and eat. I'm hungry.
Amen.
Just like you.
Amen.
I couldn't do it. If I had to keep my salvation, I'd go to hell. I would give it up. There'd be no point in me saying no to all the things I want to do in the world, all the sins my body would enjoy. There'd be no point in resisting all that. If I gotta keep my salvation, I'm not gonna make it anyhow. I don't measure up to God. I don't measure up to Jesus Christ. It's His work to keep my soul saved. And since I'm so secure and so taken care of and so loved, I choose to serve Him.
Amen.
I don't have to serve Him. I want to.
Yes, sir.
I have to preach. Actually, I don't. You've heard my stories. God's whooped the fire out of me. But at this point in my life, I choose to preach and I choose to pastor because this is what I know is my obedience to Him. I don't doubt that there's people in this building right now that could do a better job at pastoring than me. I don't doubt it. But it's not about being the best. It's about obedience. And if I, as a pastor, as a Christian, will continue to allow Him to influence my life, then something good might come out of it. And I want that influence. Let me give you my last point. We'll go home. Look at verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What a personal verse. What a great verse. You know why you need to allow Jesus Christ to influence you? Because if you'll allow Him to influence you, He will speak to you.
Sir.
Has the Lord spoke to you?
Oh,
I love coming to church because the Lord speaks to me. Great. That's a great start. I would never, as a pastor, in my right mind, talk you out of that. You need to be here. You never grow spiritually so much that you can start disobeying the Lord and not show up in the assembly where the Word of God is being preached and taught. Sometimes at the same time, sometimes entirely different, but you're getting preaching and teaching here. From the book. You never grow so much that you don't need it anymore. And if you ever get to that point, it's going to show. But let me ask you a question. Do you hear the Lord at all? In between Sunday and Wednesday? In between Wednesday and Sunday?
Sir.
Does He speak to you at all? He should be. Because the sheep hear his voice, and if he's not speaking to you, can I just kindly, without beating you up, say, it's not his fault, it's yours? You're hearing something. What are you hearing? If you want to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, you will hear it. You know how it gets when you got four kids running around the house all the time? Or three or two or one or whatever you got. And you get in your mindset, in your mode, and you're just going through your day and they're talking. You know what snaps me out of it? Is my wife started this a while back, and I think it hasn't happened in a while, so I must be getting better. She'd go, honey, stop, he's not listening to you. I'd be like, oh, yeah, sorry. It's actually funny, but it's terrible. Do you realize we... Thanks, brother. Need the backup. Really need the backup. Don't know why I went there. Do you realize that sometimes we get so used to the Lord that we're walking around and we're in our own mind and we're thinking about our own problems and we're thinking about our own whatever and he's trying to speak? And I wonder if the Holy Spirit ever says, hey, Lord, stop. He ain't listening to you. Do you know he wants to talk to you? Do you know how your children spell love? Do you know how your wife spells love? Gentlemen. Mamas, children, gentlemen, wife, and children. They don't spell it L-O-V-E. They spell it T-I-M-E.
Sir.
You know what you and I need to do? We need to give our Savior some time. Our time. Well, I don't have the time. Oh, you have the time. You have the same amount of time everybody else has. It's just how you allocate that time. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Have you heard his voice? Are you listening for his voice? When's the last time you said, Lord, search me and try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back also thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Lord, speak to me. You know what I noticed this week in my devotions? I'm reading through Psalm 119. I was reading through Psalm 119. And I realized that most of that is written in the form of a prayer. So I had to go back and start all over, and I said, I'm going to try to read this the same way. You should try that. Not every bit of it necessarily, but most of it looks like it fits real good. You should just try it. That was a pretty interesting experiment for me. You know why I have to train myself? I have to purposefully determine I'm going to go out of my way to hear his voice.
Yes, sir.
I have one shot at this thing called life. I have one shot at this year of it. I have one shot at this morning at 10:30 a.m. Do you know what I want influencing me every day? The Lord Jesus Christ. I want, I long for, I need his influence. Because he's a miracle worker and he can work them, boy. He can do stuff I can't do. He's got the right works all the time, and I don't. I just don't. I take bad things and make them worse. But if his influence can be in the middle of the bad stuff, something decent can come out of them. And last of all, because I really need to hear the truth. I need the truth from this King James Bible. I need the doctrine. I need to know what's right and what's wrong. But you know what else I need the truth on? I need the truth about me. So that I can be more like him and not be me making more messes in my life as I continue to try to push forward. I'm not going to give you an invitation this morning because I'm not trying to pressure you to make a decision right now. It's been like this for a couple weeks. I don't know how long it's going to go like this, but this is just what I'm supposed to do right now. So I want you to leave here just with a thought in your mind. What are my influences? I'm going to ask Brian to come to the piano and be ready to play for us as we dismiss, brother. And I'm going to dismiss you in a word of prayer. We'll pray right now together. But I want to ask you, what are you allowing to influence you? Is the Lord an influence that He ought to be in your life? Let's bow our heads for prayer and we'll go ahead and be dismissed.